my brothers and my sisters, we go back from time to time. How we loved growing up there on Quarter Line. Quarter Line Road, that's where I got my start. That's where I lost my heart so many years ago. Quarter Line Road, oh, how I long to be that old maple tree where we carved our names for all the world to see. I loved you and you loved me.
Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day to my father. I would call him, but I'll have to wait till later because he probably doesn't want to be bothered while putting on the ninth hole. A special thanks to those listening on Lovingston's 94.7 and the Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Maid Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. Online, it's BRGTshirts.com. All right. Again, thanks for tuning in. Let me inform you about the special show we'll have today, because I had to do a lot of preparation for this, and hopefully you'll be thankful to our guest giving up a beautiful Sunday morning, and to me for all the hard work I've done. Startup Weekend is what we're going to be talking about. It's discussing business startups, something that happened back in March, a group of people getting together to help with entrepreneurship, how to make businesses happen, risk versus outcome, bringing people together to make all these things happen. Our guests today, Janie Gotherman, John Berryman, and Gary Henry. Janie, good morning. Say good morning one more time.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for that. See, that's where I was talking about wearing my headphones so I could hear the mistakes when I was making them, even if there's a delayed reaction to me fixing them. Gary Henry.
Good morning.
Thank you. And John Berryman.
Good morning.
John with that deep, sexy voice.
I'm under the weather.
But it doesn't show in the studio. Janie Gotherman, who was a participant in the winning entrepreneurship group from the Startup Weekend. John, one of the co-organizers for Startup Weekend. And Gary, participating in getting that set up, but also from the Charlottesville Technology Incubator.
That's right. That's where the Startup Weekend was held.
So it incubated in
an incubator.
In incubator.
How about that?
I want to hear more about this because, again, as someone who's not into the technology aspect, but who has a lot of interest in how entrepreneurship, what's needed to bring it about, whether that's a personality, the technology, the help, all the skills that are needed, I'm fascinated with our conversation for the hour. So Startup Weekend, let's jump into that first. It happened back in March, and my understanding is that the Neon Guild sort of helped put this together. Is that true?
Neon Guild helped spread some of the information, although there's a lot of people that would be counted as sponsors and organizers of this event. So
real quick, the Neon Guild, what is that?
The Neon Guild is one of the premier tech organizations in town. It's been around for 15, maybe 20 years. They have once a month meetings where they talk about just issues that are of interest to them, web development type stuff, general technology issues.
All right, and Gary, so whomever, partially with the help of the Neon Guild and other groups, decided on the Startup Weekend, which, based on the name, tells me that helping startup businesses come about.
That's right. Startup Weekend takes those willing entrepreneurs, and sometimes it's people who've never done anything entrepreneurial before, also who might have had an interest, all come together and pitch a number of ideas at the very first gathering, and then some of those ideas get selected to be pursued as projects for the weekend, and then literally over a Friday night, Saturday, and ending on Sunday night, those particular concepts that are chosen get formed into teams, and those teams develop companies. And amazingly enough, inside of just those 2.5 days, some of them end up with a working prototype and even a customer or two potentially already done. So magic things can happen in a very short time.
Well, why is this important? Not entrepreneurs. I think I'll ask that sort of specific question later, but why is the Startup Weekend important enough that someone said, hey, what about doing this over a weekend? And then from there, it incubates itself to what happened in March.
Well, so Startup Weekend started about a year ago. I believe it was in Seattle. And the idea is, just as Gary said, you know, how far can we get in just a weekend? But it's a very compelling idea that we wanted to bring to Charlottesville. I think it's got a lot of good components to it. One is that the individuals themselves get experience building a startup. You also have just building a community in general. So at this event, we had designers and developers, and we had people that were at all levels of entrepreneurship, from just beginners to people that are angels investors like Gary here. And we had a mixture of people from the university and a mixture of, you know, townies like me, which is something that's kind of near and dear to my heart, to blend those crowds together.
And a few experienced entrepreneurs who are there as mentors to help some of them along in the process who hadn't been through it before. It really was well over 100 people were participating in the event. And how many people were actually in teams? About,
I believe we had
60?
We had 60 to 70 participants in, I believe it was 9 teams.
Right.
And we can give you a kind of rundown of those later if you'd like.
Janie, how did you become, because you were a participant.
Yes, absolutely.
So how did you hear about it, and what brought you into play?
So my husband actually and I did the weekend together, and he heard about Startup Weekend through John, through Neon Guild, I believe, and we decided we would sign up and just be wallflowers. That was the original idea. We were going to sign up and not pitch an idea and just join a team and see how it worked and feel it out. But at the last minute, we decided we should really kind of go all in. So we both pitched ideas on Friday night, and I was very excited and surprised that mine made it through the first round. And then the next step is to kind of persuade the other people in the room that, you know, your project is something that they should be working on.
Did his idea make it? Did you have different ideas?
We had different ideas, but his did not make it. So he was on my team.
were they formulated together in, you know, over the kitchen table, or is this something where he said, well, you know what, I'm the one who came up with this, so I'll you know, stand or fall based on this idea, etc.?
Well, we actually have a whole list of ideas. I think we went through about 50 that we take a lot of car trips, and one of the things we do to pass the time is to come up with ideas for businesses. And so we each selected one that, you know, was one of our favorites.
And fascinatingly enough to you, it sounds like, because you were just going to sort of sit by and watch, and you made the first cut.
Yep. And so I ended up leading a team of 4 people and going through the whole weekend. It was really a good way to learn, because you get thrown into the deep end, and you have a tremendous amount of support. It seemed at some points that there were as many mentors as there were participants, so we really were able to lean on them and learn as we went.
All right, we are here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, WNRN. We're talking about entrepreneurship, being an entrepreneur, the gathering of different personalities, or certainly different types of business executives that it takes to do this, from idea folks to technology folks to financial folks, etc. Our guest today, that was Janie Gotherman. You heard talking about her and her husband sort of jumping into the deep end. We have Gary Henry here from the Charlottesville Technology Incubator. We have John Berryman, both of those gentlemen helping this all come together back in March, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why is this important? Why do you feel the need for entrepreneurs? Certainly people want to have their own job. There are a group of people who want to have their own job. But many people, and I got this in exchange in the emails between folks from the Startup Weekend, it's more than that now.
Well, it's extremely important, and perhaps in this particular period of time, never more important. And that's important not only to our local region, but also to the country as a whole. Entrepreneurs, they're all optimists as one universal characteristic among them all. And what they do for us is they create new jobs. And in an economy that's struggling, the way it recovers from recession, the way it's always recovered from a recession, is through the new jobs that are created mostly by small businesses. Matter of fact, there have been, over the last two decades, about 3 million new jobs created by startup companies every year, like clockwork, whether the economy was up or the economy was down. So when you look at the really big companies that are the existing ones, the way we have variations in employment are they typically shed jobs when the economy is poor. So these entrepreneurs and their entrepreneurial spirit, they create all of the net new jobs every time.
Isn't there a bigger risk, though? I mean, if all these jobs are coming from being an entrepreneur, aren't those... I mean, you talk about how all the big businesses shed jobs, but is it different to be an entrepreneur than it is to own your own business?
Well, actually, being an entrepreneur is owning your own business and then some, so to speak, because you're not only owning it, you're creating it. As an optimist, you're out there pitching how your company can solve somebody's problem, some customer's problem. You're always working to make it bigger and better, and they're typically really small. These startup companies, on average, have something like 10 employees in them.
And I'd like to add to the comment about risk. Before I started thinking more entrepreneurially, really in the past couple of years, I was always under the belief that entrepreneurs were just risk takers, mountain climbers, whitewater rafters, and generally crazy.
Exactly.
People. But I've been learning more and more that entrepreneurs, they deal in a measured way with risk. Unlike most people that do the typical 9-to-5 job type thing, who assume that there is very low risk, an entrepreneur fleshes out all the risks that are out there and understands before he or she makes a leap exactly what that might entail. And they're never... In some ways, they're less risky because they're never willing to take a risk that is greater than they're willing to lose. So it's a different take on entrepreneurship that I'd been unaware of until recently.
We talk about the importance of having the entrepreneurs in seem to be more important with today's economy. Gary, if I'm copying what you said, Janie, I'll start with you. Do the three of you? Do you have your own business? Do you consider yourselves currently to be entrepreneurs?
No, I'm brand new. I have a day job, 9-to-5, in a giant corporation. So while that is, very secure, I feel like the flip side of that risk you were talking about is the passion that, my concept for Startup Weekend was a product I wanted to buy that I keep looking for that I can't find. So instead of having a very secure place where you're, kind of following somebody else's directives, being an entrepreneur is about being able to create something out of nothing and, bring something into the world that you wanted to see there.
Well, I've been an entrepreneur several times. I guess I'd say I've been an entrepreneur since about 1996. I have a management consulting business, which essentially I help mentor and advise startup technology companies for the most part, and have ever since then. As an advocate for sort of technology-based economic development, which is a way of creating jobs right here in Albemarle County and in the surrounding area without needing to actually move a big business here, I've also spent quite a bit of time trying to create an entrepreneurial ecosystem for our area, because I think it's the best way to improve our local economy.
And I guess I'm fairly new to the block myself, but I like to tell people that I don't work for a startup. I work for a restart. It's a small company. They've been around for about 7 or 8 years, and they had a big pivot right before I came. So one of seven employees, it's a very entrepreneurial mindset. We have to go out there and tackle the problem at hand. And it's been educational. Educational learning about entrepreneurship through my little restart.
I might add one other big risk taker that's a key ingredient to this, and that's the investors. The entrepreneur comes up with this brilliant idea like Janie's, and they may be completely convinced it's the next greatest thing, but they have to convince somebody with a lot of money that they should be parting with that money and invested in their idea in order to make it happen. And so those angel investors, and eventually, friends and family, typically a little bit before angel investors, and then perhaps later an institutional or venture capital investor might get involved. But they also have to be those risk takers and those believers in the idea for it to work. And that's an important part of the ecosystem.
Yeah. Again, we are talking about entrepreneurship, how to make that happen. Some of the ecosystem is the word that's been used twice here early on in the conversation. Why it's important, how to make it happen, etc., with some folks who participated back in March. The Startup Weekend, was that its official name?
Yes, Charlottesville Startup Weekend.
Charlottesville Startup Weekend. Our three guests today, Gary Henry, John Berryman, helping put that together, Janie Gotherman, co-founder of The Winning Group. We'll talk a little bit in a few minutes about what that was and how it came together. For the three of you, is there a specific personality that's needed to be an entrepreneur, or a personality trait that could belong in any personality?
Well, I mentioned it once before. The one universal trait of entrepreneurs is optimism. If they don't have that optimism, they don't get their idea out and into the world. And if I'd say what's the second most predominant characteristic, it would be persistence. They're not easily put down. They have to work through a lot of adversity, a lot of difficulties. They have to sort of iterate their idea until it really becomes something people will pay money for. So that resilience or persistence, along with optimism, I'd say are the main characteristics I've observed.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I don't think anyone is excluded from being an entrepreneur. Anyone can go along that path, but those two qualities are definitely essential to being a good entrepreneur.
Janie, you said that you work 9 to 5 for a major business here in town. Did you, and your original comment was being a wallflower at Startup Weekend, did you envision yourself as having the personality and the personality trait to be an entrepreneur, or just the idea that someone else may want to bring you along for?
I think I definitely see myself as having a little bit of that entrepreneurial spirit, and I am an optimist, that's for sure. I guess I anticipated learning a lot more about the process before I was thrown into the deep end, as I was saying earlier. But, I think part of the entrepreneurial spirit is being able to just go for it. And just, we heard over and over from our mentors that the most important thing that you can do with your startup is just to do it, just build it, just get it out there, start your business and don't worry so much about being 100% prepared, because you're never going to feel completely ready.
Yeah, and you'll always make mistakes anyways, but that's why you want to get something to market soon, so that you can see how the customers respond to it and you can make those changes that you need to make to have a successful business.
And that's an interesting point about those mistakes. In the entrepreneurial world, those mistakes are just as valuable as successes, because there's a lot of learning that comes from them. And I guess, unlike perhaps some parts of the other business world, having a failed startup in the entrepreneurial world is not anything to be ashamed of whatsoever. Matter of fact, it's a real positive trait to have been through a cycle. Yeah, you learn a great deal, and you're going to avoid some similar mistakes the next time around.
11:18 here on WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, talking about being an entrepreneur, what it takes, and some suggestions from our group here, as well as the Startup Weekend, which happened back in March, and already conversation about putting a second one together a little later on in the year. We'll get into some specifics about that in just a moment with our guests. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Sunny today, highs around 80, cloudy with a chance of overnight rain tonight. Lows 57 to 62, cloudy with a chance of rain and thunderstorms tomorrow, highs in the low 80s. Right now, it's in the valley, it's fair and 70 in Lynchburg, some clouds in 69 in Richmond, beautiful day outside, 72 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support today also coming from L. Oppelman's Pawn Shop, serving Lynchburg families for over a century at 909 Main Street. L. Oppelman always has a selection of jewelry, including estate jewelry and hand-picked GIA-certified diamonds, loose or mounted, plus gold and platinum wedding bands. L. Oppelman also has cultured pearls and watches from brands like Rolex and Tag. That's L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg. All right, back to our guests. Gary Henry, Janie Gotherman, and John Berryman talking about being an entrepreneur and the Startup Weekend, which happened back in March. Janie, tell me a little bit about how it went for you. You talked about sort of jumping off the deep end, not planning to participate fully when you first got there. We know a little bit about submitting and then, you know, making the first cut, et cetera. But tell me emotionally what that was like.
It was really fun, I have to say. We had a great meeting on Friday night where we all kind of ate pizza and talked to each other, and you got to know the other participants and the other and the mentors there. And when we pitched the ideas, it was very casual and not didn't make me too nervous. But then as soon as the ideas were pitched, you basically had a period of time in which to walk around the room and convince people to vote for your idea. And then you had to go through that all over again once your idea was selected.
Tell me about that. So you have, I think you said you had 100 people and 60 or 70 of them were actually there to participate. Did you have 60 or 70 ideas?
We had a good number. I think all said it was about 30 ideas, so about one out of every two people had an idea in the room, and then we sub-selected down to
nine.
Who did that? Who did the first cut? Was that the 30 or so people who were there to build to make it come together and make it happen?
The participants themselves more or less took the 30 down to the nine by all of them sort of voting which idea they thought was the best.
Did you have to do the politics before that or after that?
Kind of several okay. Iterations. So before we voted, we walked around and talked to everybody about our idea. And then after the vote, you had to make the rounds again and ask for support. That's when you had to go out and say, you know, I'm looking for a team. I need developers. I need tech people. I need a designer. Yep.
There are some ideas that actually got sub-selected but were not chosen. the sub-selection is basically to help the people focus on these are the ones that are more likely to succeed. But then Janie's right. If you don't go around and actually make sure your group is going to support you, then you'll get there on Saturday morning, and then you'll have to join someone else's group.
Well, maybe one other aspect is when you say your group, you don't know what that group is. When those nine ideas have been selected, Janie's right, then you're going out saying, well, please join one of these nine ideas. And so if I'm one of them, please join my team to support that. So there's a whole nother round of very real voting in this case, because now they're going to say, am I going to be a participant on that team? Am I willing to devote my weekend to make that idea work?
Did you have any poor sports? People who didn't make the first cut or then didn't show up on Saturday? Easy for me to call them that since I wasn't there, but
I wouldn't say. Well, yes, there is a couple people that showed up on Friday night and were displeased to see that we weren't talking about patents and intellectual property and stuff like that, and then they weren't around on the next day. But by and large, everyone was really excited. There's a lot of good energy in the room about making something, making it that weekend.
All right, so help me understand a little bit more about, so you have, let's say you have 30 ideas that are pitched, and then you cut it to 9. Mm-hmm. Everyone there, all 100 people, helped cut it to the 9 that seemed to be most interesting and most likely to actually become a business.
That's correct.
Am I understanding that properly? All right, so now you have 9 ideas. Mm-hmm. Do all 9 of those continue on to the next step?
We had, it's been a little while, so I can't be sure that I'm correct, but I think we had one of the teams that was selected didn't survive to form a group the next day. And I definitely know that there was one team that was not selected, but they're like, you know what? Hey, me and my buddy and that guy over there were interested enough in it. We're going to do it anyways. And so we had a small team. It was 3 people, but they ended up postal drop. They ended up being one of the second place or third place.
Yeah, so one in the top 3.
When you go to put a team together, Janie, are you looking for, and you talked about you were the designer.
Well, I was... I guess, so I do kind of product development in my day job. So I kind of saw myself as the business end of, you know, kind of what is our plan? How are we going to execute? What I needed were technical people. I needed developers. And in our case, we were trying to develop an Android app. So we needed somebody with experience in that. And we needed a designer. So we had a creative person on our team. And then we also had another business type person.
Well, let's say you couldn't find, you know, you're walking around the room and you're saying, you know, I'm the person with this idea and these are the different positions I need filled. If you hadn't found a designer, does that mean that you would have, you wouldn't have continued forward?
Oh, no.
That weekend.
No, I think you kind of make do with what you have and who's interested in your project. And then also there was a lot of sharing in between the teams. So we were making a video demo, and we actually had somebody from one of the other teams is an expert in kind of audio and video stuff. And so he came and you know, recorded my voice and did the editing with us. So we all tried to help each other out.
So some dessert brought him over to your, or her over to your team to share between the two.
Yeah, we all tried to pitch in. I was interviewed by one of the other teams that was working on nonprofits. So we all tried to pitch in what skills we had.
Getting a good mixture there is actually an interesting point here. The Startup Weekend event is kind of a franchise of a national and, at this point, I guess even an international event. But one thing that across the country they've had a little bit of trouble getting together is we always want to include technical-minded people, business-minded people, and developers. And that's the three groups because those are broad categories that tend to typically apply. But designers are notoriously just hard to get. And so that's one thing that the Startup Weekend group and us in particular in Charlottesville we'll be focusing on this next time. So while I've got Charlottesville on the phone, this is a great event for designers to kind of get out and see the Charlottesville ecosystem.
We probably ought to, for perspective here about those people who might be listening who are thinking of being an entrepreneur and otherwise, that Startup Weekend in particular, by its very nature of being something that's over 2.5 days, lends itself to those business concepts that are more IT focused. If you had a medical device idea and you wanted to start a company for that, it's not out of the question that it couldn't be done in a weekend, but it doesn't lend itself as easily to it. So as we're sitting here talking about the fact that what we really need in order to make the right kind of team work is the right kind of designer and business and technology kind of people, that's exactly right for an IT-based mm-hmm. startup company. And there are many other kinds of startup companies, every kind you can imagine, that might not fit into the Startup Weekend formula.
Do you think that the experience of Startup Weekend would still be helpful to
these Absolutely.
People?
So I think somebody who if even if they wanted to start a financial services company, if they were to attend Startup Weekend, just going through the entrepreneurial cycle one time would be an enormous benefit to them.
Yeah, that was very apparent to me in reading about Startup Weekend, is that it seemed devoted to technology. And certainly Charlottesville is full of restaurants. So if someone wanted to open a new restaurant, does going to Startup Weekend help that group in any way? Certainly you're not going to walk in on Friday evening, eat some pizza, and walk out Sunday afternoon going, excellent, I have the six people here that are going to make my place, you know, work.
Well, that's actually a great idea. I would mind having a food-focused Startup Weekend. I'll have to tell my wife, who just got a catering company, about that. But there are a bunch of different subtopics within Startup Weekend. So they are trying to branch out into
But if I had showed up on Friday and said, here's my idea of a different catering-related mm-hmm. business. Instead of having a catering where you can call me for your wedding or for your business group, here's what I would like to do instead. I wouldn't have even made the first cut, because there wouldn't have been that type of business folk there mm-hmm. interested and helpful to me. Is that correct?
Well, I think it's all about the mix of people who are there, because if you showed up on Friday, I'm not necessarily a technical person. It could be that I was more interested in a catering company than in a technology product. So if you have enough people who are interested in your topic, then you'll have a team. And maybe what you have at the end of the day, Sunday, isn't, you know, a working prototype, but maybe what you do have is a website design and a fleshed out business strategy and a way to make money out of your business.
Excellent. I love that feedback, sort of expanding what the conversation has been so far and what I think the focus. What I read about Startup Weekend seemed to be strictly technology, IT, et cetera, based. And now, whether or not that's the plan for Startup Weekend number two, you can make it the plan by bringing your own group of four or seven or whatever to the group, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Just historically, the technology stuff tends to be amenable to this, but it's definitely open for any group. As a matter of fact, nationally, they're trying to spread it towards different ideas like education and politics and open politics and stuff like that. So,
yeah. I think Charlottesville too has, for me, it seemed to have a different feel to it than the Startup Weekends that you read about. I had read an article in Wired magazine about Startup Weekend before ours came about, and it sounded a lot more like a hackathon where, you know, these guys are staying up all night long and they're coding and, you know, drinking a lot of Mountain Dew and, you know, that isn't something that I felt like I had a lot to bring to the party if it was a hackathon, but it certainly wasn't. It was a lot more about whatever your idea is, kind of building that business from the ground up.
I think you had it hit the nail on the head before, Janie, when you said it just depends on who comes to the party. The group that's there is going to have a big influence on what direction it takes.
11:31 here on the Wake Up Call, talking about entrepreneurship. The Startup Weekend that happened a few months ago. How it works, what it needs, and I got a question here about entrepreneurship as a whole in just a second. Let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support to WNRN, celebrating 40 years as your local one-stop source for outdoor gear, apparel, and footwear. Blue Ridge has gifts for dad, including watches, knives, binoculars, and sunglasses, as well as an array of hiking and camping accessories. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville. They have two locations in Richmond. For more store information, it's brms.com. Back with our guests today, John Berryman, Gary Henry, and Janie Gotherman, talking about Startup Weekend. Gary from Charlottesville Technology Incubator. John, one of the co-organizers of the weekend. Janie Gotherman, a participant and a co-founder of The Winning Business. Gary, we've talked several times now about one of the needed positions in your group as an investor. And you talked about angel investors and the Virginia Active Angel Network. Can you talk about that?
Yes. First, let's talk about what kind of investors there are. Typically, the very first investors are friends and family, and sometimes we include fools in that as well. who put the money into the very, very formative stages of when the concept's just real nascent. But then pretty soon, you need a substantial amount of money. By substantial, I'm talking about $300,000-$500,000, perhaps as much as $1 million. And to get that kind of money, the next most amenable, the most friendly place to turn is to angel investors. And angel investors are typically people who very often are previously successful entrepreneurs themselves, because a successful entrepreneur really likes to have and help create more successful entrepreneurs. So they're spending their hard-earned money on other startups. That's the biggest, I'd say, part of angel investors. But there are also some wealthy individuals who like to participate in the creation of some of these companies. And in Virginia, we have, headquartered right here in Charlottesville, the Virginia Active Angel Network. And that's a group of these individuals who all come together and about once every other month look at two companies that pitch to them. And if the idea seems worthy of an investment, they all commit varying amounts of money to that investment. And after some due diligence, the money's invested in those companies. And an angel investor is typically looking for something like a 5 or 10 or 20 times return on their money. So this means you have to have a fairly, a very high potential in the company concept that you're working on in order for an angel investor to be interested.
I like the friends, family, and fools part, because I'm sure that many people have considered themselves the latter all too frequently. Is there a way for an investor to learn how to be a better investor other than making mistakes?
Well, that's one of the best ways, one of the biggest reasons for having the Virginia Active Angel Network, because it's an actual physical meeting. The angels come together, they hear the pitch, and then they discuss their impressions of the strengths and weaknesses of the company afterwards. And so if you're around a lot of other angel investors, and if you're new to angel investing perhaps, this is a good opportunity for you to learn from the experience of other folks that have been involved in it, because there are many angel investors who operate just as an individual. And in that particular case, Rick, they're pretty much on their own. They have to be self-reliant. An angel network or an angel group provides you a little bit of feedback and a little bit of mentoring from some other successful investors.
11:36 on the wake up call. I'm so fascinated in the topic, I haven't even thrown out the phone number to those who might want it. Please call us up with your own question or comment about being an entrepreneur or how to become an entrepreneur, take advantage of the technology experience and recent change. I don't know. I don't want to say change in personality, Janie, but someone who walked in expecting to be a wallflower and then who comes up with a winning idea. So call up if you have a question for this group, 979-0919. That's 979-0919. If you need the toll-free number, it's 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Janie, I brought it up a couple times now. You were the winning idea. Can you share with us what the idea is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the name of the company is Switchbook. And like I said before, this is a product that I keep wanting to buy, and nobody's made it yet. So our idea is I'm always reading a book on my iPhone or on my iPad. And when I need to walk the dog or cook dinner or drive somewhere, I really wish that I could turn that ebook into an audiobook. So our concept is an app that would operate like a regular e-reader, and then when you want to, you need to get up and move, then you can just press play, and it'll sync an audiobook with your e-book so that you can switch back and forth depending on your activity.
And let's talk a bit about, you had the idea, you walked in, but you needed the various other parts of the puzzle to make it happen. Did you have to convince other people to any great extreme, or did you say, here's my idea, and everybody went, oh yeah.
It's hard to say from anybody else's point of view, but I felt like we were underdogs for most of the weekend. We had a smaller team. There are only four of us, and they were teams, you know, really huge teams. I think one had 17 members that we were up against.
Good grief.
Yeah, so I felt like, you know, just the manpower we had was, you know, gave us a smaller chance. But absolutely, I think we had a good enough idea and a good enough concept, and we had some fantastic customer research over the weekend, and it obviously was compelling to the judges at the end of the day.
Who were the judges, and how were the teams judged?
We had three judges, and help me if you can remember them.
I'm not sure I can. Yes,
was one.
All right. Well, let's say that the judges weren't particularly important by name, but were they chosen based on their experience in any field, or was it just, okay, you people have, you know, you're one of the 30 here who have been setting it up, et cetera. And how were the winning teams judged?
I believe all three of them were essentially investor types. It was my recollection.
One of them is one of the founders of OpenQ. So there's definitely current entrepreneurs in the bunch as well.
Okay. So at least one entrepreneur, and all three were investors.
Right.
And what did they look at to determine that the four-team idea was better than, or was your idea better? Was it that your idea was further along, more likely to actually be paid for by a customer?
So it's more likely to succeed, I guess, is just the general idea. You had some teams, like we were saying earlier, the event does draw a lot of techie people. So the teams that focused only on technical stuff and didn't really think through a business plan or customer acquisition, they generally don't get rated well. Whereas if you have a well-rounded team that's got, you know, they've shown that they can move on the product, they've shown that they've thought through the business, and they've shown that it is a pressing need, all those things together it lead to more likelihood of winning.
Right. They have to convince the judges that their value proposition of the company is better than the value proposition of any of the others. And so for that, you need to have a market. You need to have a plausible means by which you're actually going to make real money. Because, you know, just because you have an idea that everybody would love is fine, but will they actually pay for it? And when they pay for it, will that actually add up to something that makes your business profitable and therefore successful? So, you know, basic business sort of things are probably a bigger key than how much technology you got done in the weekend.
Yep.
11:41 on the Wake Up Call, talking about being an entrepreneur. And the next startup weekend upcoming this fall, I believe, we'll get into the details in just a minute with our group, John, Gary, and Janie.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Market Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstand Thursday. Here's Rick on what you can find on this week's Hook.
Oh, first came the shock, then came the anger, and now come the questions. UVA's Board of Visitors' role in the loss of President Teresa Sullivan has many wondering if UVA is being run like the school Jefferson envisioned, or more in common with the Wall Street hedge fund. And the news regarding the Board of Visitors' action and President Sullivan's departure change hourly. Read the printed paper and then visit The Hook's website. Stay up to date. And reports currently say the faculty, staff, and students are being asked to gather in large numbers on the lawn tomorrow, Monday, June 18th at 3 p.m. for the BOV's scheduled meeting. The Hook, you can handle the truth. I see the phone lines ringing. Call in 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. And we're here thanks to support from The Backyard, UVA Corner's culinary secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a seasonal menu open for lunch and dinner, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. Backyard open Monday through Saturday, and you're invited to their outdoor patio this summer. You can call ahead for takeout at 434-202-8215. You can also find the Backyard on Facebook. All right, back with our guests today, Janie Gotherman, John Berryman, and Gary Henry, talking about Startup Weekend. I see the phones ringing, 979-0919. Feel free to use it. The toll-free number out there as well, 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Talk about some of the other ideas that caught interest. Do either of you, any of you have information on that?
Some of the other ideas that made it through the competition.
Yeah, I mean, I copied some things down that I got, and I don't know how much you can share with that.
Yeah, sure.
Sean?
So there are 9 teams there, and I called around recently to talk to some of the organizers of those teams and figure out kind of where they are. And I was pleased to find that a good portion of them are still active. Even the ones that aren't as active are very intent on completing and working on their ideas still. So the list I've got right here, obviously Janie, she's still working with her idea with Switchbook.
Give me one more real quick and we're going to take a call then.
Sure. Trends with Friends I thought was an interesting and kind of hilarious idea, where basically you play pop culture like the stock market. You say J-Lo, she's going out, so sell shares in J-Lo. And the real funny thing is the idea morphed a little bit. It started as kind of like taking stock options on your friend's romantic relationship. So Susie and Bob, bye, bye, bye.
Oh, Lord. And then there are some people you would always sell.
Yeah.
always sell. All right. We're going to come back to some more of those. We got a call from Paul. Hey, Paul. Oh, Paul, are you still there? Did we lose you just then on your cell phone? Paul. All right. Bad phone connection. Dial me back. Paul, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. John, we were going through Trends with Friends. What are some of the others?
So another one was City Scrapbook. That was done by a really active entrepreneurial person from Richmond that came in for the event. Basically, it's a way of helping you fall in love with your city by allowing you to collect and organize and share the places and events and photos that are already kind of in that neighborhood.
Explain that a little more, because that seems like is that meant to attract the tourist, or is that meant to, I mean, does anybody know?
I helped mentor that particular group. So okay. I remember just a little bit about it. They originally started out as, you know, how would we, represent apartments for rent in a certain area, and how would we, you know, let people really know what the area was like. You know, is it a cool place with restaurants and activities in the area? So, you know, far far beyond what you'd find if you just looked at the description of the property that was for rent. And so that idea iterated over the whole weekend into, well, you know, let's instead of pitching this to people who might move to the area and be renters, let's pitch it to the people who are already there about, well, how cool is what we have, trying to build a more cohesive, stronger community, and here are all the cool things going on. So it's more like a local way of finding out all of the cool things that are happening in your neighborhood.
All right. Give me another one that's on there.
Mongo Crypt was won by one of our techies. I believe it got third place, but it was a pretty good idea. Every company on Earth has to deal with databases. There's a lot of information right now, and almost all of them also have to deal with database securities. Certainly that's certainly the case with medical records and insurance and things like that.
Banking.
Yeah, banking for sure. But databases and security are not packaged together. So he was doing a secure database as a service. You'd sign up for it, and just right out of the box, you'd have something that you could depend on.
Yeah, I think one of the main concepts was there was that almost anybody who starts a business anymore collects data. And if you collect data about your customers at all, you really need to protect it. And as a small company, is there a service that would just make that easy for you? Big firms like banks and so forth, they can afford to put all of the manpower into making that happen. And these guys were going to offer a simplified way for smaller companies to have the same sort of security.
All right, let's see if Paul, are you with me this time?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, man, what you got for us?
I heard y'all talking, and it sounded like that y'all were, like, having a need for designers.
Absolutely, yes.
There seems to be a shortage.
When you say designers, are you talking about inventors?
No, not in this particular context. Designers really means people who have graphic arts kind of abilities.
Oh, those guys, okay.
In a IT environment.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, well, like, one thing I heard is that some people attended a meeting for talking about intellectual property rights or something, and then they didn't come back. Is there some issue with people giving up their ideas as far as, you know, being protected and being compensated? Because just personally, you know, I'm actually an electrical designer who always wanted to be an inventor.
Well, I think,
you know, I really never found a very comfortable outlet for
there's always a good balance for it, right? I mean, this event does not offer any particular protections against that. It's kind of a microcosm of real life. So if you've got a business idea or an invention, how do you make it successful if you can't share it with anybody? And certainly there are some domains where that's the case. If you got an electrical engineering idea and you know exactly what you want to do, then it's probably time to talk to a patent attorney. But if you got some of these ideas that are more common at Startup Weekend events, they're social ideas, they're quick technology ideas. They don't have much patentable IP, a lot of them, but they do have a need to have this viral ability to share the information. So that being said, you know, you always need to be careful, but I would say that people often tend to err way too far on the side of holding their ideas close.
I'd completely agree.
Thanks, Paul.
Whenever you're talking to a potential investor or anybody who's going to be supporting your business, you have to reveal enough about why it's valuable in order to get them to participate. And oftentimes, I'd say, John, you're exactly right. You know, people are way too conservative about trying to keep that secret, and it's far bigger risk to not be talking about it than it is to bring it out.
Janie, did you have concern about that with your idea?
I didn't, but I would say that I feel like part of the spirit of Startup Weekend is to not come with your golden egg. You know, don't come to Startup Weekend thinking I've had this business plan for 6 months and I've fleshed it all out and I know exactly where I'm going. That's not, you know, what Startup Weekend is about, because what will happen, you know, everybody uses this term pivot, where you get, you know, 20 hours into the weekend and then you realize that your direction is completely wrong. So a lot of groups ended up on Sunday evening with a completely different concept from where they started out. And I don't feel like ours had a huge pivot, but at the same time, the idea that won the contest was much more than what I came with, you know, what I right. came and pitched on Friday night. So the weekend really changes what you've brought.
And I think this is an excellent point, and one that for any potential entrepreneur out there listening that they ought to take to heart, that I have never, ever seen somebody's concept on day one survive to be a real product at the end. That never, ever happens. Because a lot of people think, well, I can't be an entrepreneur because I don't have that brilliant idea. And so that's holding me back. And the idea is actually almost irrelevant. The most important thing is to actually get a team of people together with all the right kind of complementary skills. If you get that right kind of team with the right kind of chemistry together, you can start with the worst idea. And no matter what, how good it is, it's going to change and iterate not once, not twice, but hundreds of times, literally, into something that people will actually pay money for. So If you want to be an entrepreneur, don't be held back by the idea. Yeah. You'll only be held back by putting the right team together and then having the right money to support how you're going to change that idea into one that is truly a winner.
And that is the focus of Startup Weekend. It's not, it's they actually, it's beyond encouraging. They insist that you do not come with an idea that's already in motion. And it's important. I actually experienced this for myself. Before you can organize one of these events, you have to have at least one representative from your team attend a Startup Weekend. And both me and Mark Green had attended separate Startup Weekends. At my Startup Weekend, I was involved with a group that, unbeknownst to me until we started actually working on day two, they had this master plan for a while. And that made it difficult to pivot. I mean, I would have an idea, and other people in the team that they brought in would have an idea. It's like, why are you guys doing this? And like, the technology's too hard here, and it's rigid. And that's when you're running a real startup, you want to remain nimble, and that's what Startup Weekend is encouraging.
11:53 on the wake-up call. Talking about entrepreneurship. Before I do this next little bit, you have Startup Weekend number 2 is already planned, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
When is that?
Startup Weekend number 2 is going to be October 26th through 28th. That's still a few months down the road, but it'll be much of the same thing. A lot of new startup ideas and team building. And
as we talked about a few minutes ago, if you have your idea of however nimble it may be, doesn't have to be technology oriented. Get a variety of people together who are in the same field or whatever, and you know, bring them along so that you can have a group that's related to a non-technological field.
Absolutely.
Let me thank Dixon Disposal for their support today. When Dixon picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. Dixon also offers single stream recycling during regular pickup. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, it's DixonDisposal.com or 434-978-2111. At noon, Les Temps Perdue will start up. Best of 80s and 90s alternative music. The roots of alternative music is important because you can't understand where we are without first knowing where we've been. Enjoy the times gone by with Les Temps Perdue only on WNRN. Got a question. We've talked about this a couple times. Technology, there are entrepreneurship and that style of academic class. I know that there are classes at McIntyre and at Darden. But if the importance of being an entrepreneur is society-wide, shouldn't entrepreneurship be taught in other academic realms, whether you do it in sociology, psychology, engineering, etc.? Is that available anywhere?
Yes. It's still just getting, I'd say, broad recognition, but there are entrepreneurship classes that happen in some high schools, some magnet schools, and some charter schools. So there's that sort of level, as well as the college that you were already talking about. And then, of course, there are across the United States something like about 1,500 incubators that are there, even outside of the educational system itself, to help entrepreneurs of any age and certainly outside of school to have the same type of mentoring that we were talking about at the Startup Weekend is available at an incubator on an ongoing basis. And we like to say, and I think one of the numbers that the National Business Incubation Association puts out is you can improve your odds of being survivable over 5 years to over 80% by getting the right kind of mentorship in your entrepreneurial startup early on.
11:56 on the wake-up call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Our guests today, Janie Gotherman, John Berryman, and Gary Henry, all participants in the March version of Startup Weekend here in Charlottesville. Has the future of being an entrepreneur become easier or more difficult? And I don't want to talk about it in the political sense about, taxing, making it, small business, large business, but just in other ways, has it become easier or has it become more difficult?
My general impression is that it is it is easier right now than ever. It's cheaper, it's faster to start a business, especially in certain fields like the technological realms, than it has ever been before. So
absolutely. This is a heyday. I think even to put a number to that statement, the 50,000 is the new 500,000 is what venture capitalists are saying these days, because they can now get an IT company off the ground for as little as that, and as little as the 3 days, like over the weekend, compared to it used to be months and huge amounts of money before. Plus, I think with the internet and now a focus on entrepreneurial education, there's a lot more resources available to potential entrepreneurs than has been available in the past.
Janie, is Switchbook in existence? Do you expect it to be in existence in months or years?
Yeah, we're continuing to work on the project. I think the technical side is our main focus right now, is kind of working through some of those hot button issues you hear about these days, like DRM and all of that. But we intend on coming up with the product and getting it out there. And we're also coming up with new ideas for the next Startup Weekend in October.
One of the things that I found in doing my homework was that we talked about Startup Weekend taking place in March and then upcoming again in October. But there are things on a regular basis, are there not? I found something called Biotech and Beer and First what? Wednesdays.
Yes, and in addition, there's CXO roundtables and after-hours events done by the Charlottesville Business Innovation Council. So there's a variety of things. UVA has a whole series of innovation-oriented things that are open to people outside the university as well. There are a lot of people working in our entrepreneurial ecosystem to make it stronger and to help grow it here in our area.
Last question. People talk about the business model and how important that is. Is there a place that you can go, whether it's from your organization or from one that you give the thumbs up to, that allows people to read about what the business model is or is needed so that you can sort of make your own personal determination from there? Is that a sensible question that I throw out there in the last 30 seconds?
I think if somebody wants to have their business concept vetted, they need to be talking to another entrepreneur who's been through the experience, or with somebody who already mentors, or contact an incubator in their particular area.
And which could it be? Charlottesville Technology Incubator.
That would be one in Charlottesville, yes.
All right. Thanks. That's Gary Henry, Charlottesville Technology Incubator. John Berryman, one of the co-organizers of Startup Weekend. And Janie Gotheman, participant and the co-founder of the winning group, Switchbook. I look forward to seeing that. Thanks to the three of you for coming in today. Next week, we'll be talking with a group from the Piedmont Council of the Arts, discussing how to keep music, arts, and theater in the public schools. Thanks to the three of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news. On newsstands Thursday, the wake-up call is also supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.